वेलम मगत मुनिजो अज बवार चितांग्री दग्ध्वात्मकृत्या हतकृत्य महं कबंधाम साक्यं विधाय कपिभीर दयिता गतिं तैर बुद्ध्वात वलिनी हते प्लवगेन्द्र सैन्ये वेलां मगत्स मनुजो अज भवार्चिताङ्ग्री दग्ध्वा बाय बर्निंग आत्मकृत हत कृत्यम आफ्टर परफॉर्मिंग रिलीजियस रिचुअल्स रिक्वायर्ड आफ्टर द डेथ ऑफ जटायु हु डाइड फॉर द लॉर्ड्स कॉज अहन किल्ड कबंधाम द डीमन कबंध साख्यम फ्रेंडशिप विधाय आफ्टर क्रिएटिंग कपिभी विद द मंकी चीफ्स दायित गतिम द अरेंजमेंट फॉर डिलीवरिंग सीता ते बाय देम बुद्ध्वा नोइंग अथ देर आफ्टर वालिनी हते when Vali had been killed, Plavaga Indra Sainyer, with the help of the soldiers of the monkeys, Velam, to the beach of the ocean, Agath went, Saha, he, Lord Ramachandra, Manuja, appearing as a human being, Aja, by Lord Brahma, Bhava and by Lord Shiva, Archita Angri, whose lotus feet are worshipped. Translation, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being, thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabandha and after making friendships with the monkey chiefs, killed Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravan. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony and then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi.
Omagyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी रामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. So we are continuing the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra here. And this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the narration of Lord Ram meeting Jatayu and the kidnapping of Sita, and the tying up of Lord Ram with all the monkey soldiers, he explained. This is a very interesting section of the Ramayana, because of course Srimad Bhagavatam is going at a very rapid pace in the Ramayana. It's not focusing on certain parts, it's going at a great speed, and many pastimes are covered together in one translation. I'll just read the translation again. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus, he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravan, and the Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda. And after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Among the millions of incarnations of the Lord, these two incarnations, Lord Krishna and Lord Ram, are considered to be very unique. The Sri Vaishnavas explain that the reason these two forms or the incarnations of the Lord are considered to be unique is because both of them led full lives. Narasingadev, he came for one muhurta. Practically, he was there for just half a day. He did his job and went back. Varahadev came for some time. Like that, Vamanadev, he came for very short period of time. After he had an interaction with Bali, he left. So practically every of these incarnations just came for a certain amount of time and they left after some time. Matsyavatar, he also left immediately. But Lord Ram and Lord Krishna stayed from their birth till ripe, quite a lot of time. Almost Krishna stayed for 125 years. Ramchandra also stayed for many, many years. So we can learn the maximum from these two personalities. Of course, the way we learn it is that from Lord Krishna, we learn from his words, we hear him and learn from him, and Lord Ramachandra, we see him and learn from him. But if you try to do the opposite, then you get bewildered. If you try to see Krishna and learn from him, you get bewildered. And you try to hear Ram and learn from him, you get bewildered. Because there are certain things about Ramayana, you know, where Ram speaks, might be a little difficult to digest. But seeing the character of Ram is such an ideal perfection. And in this particular translation, Prabhupada is bringing out four different kind of mindsets. The mindset of Ravan is the mindset of exploitation. The mindset of Jatayu is the mindset of sacrifice. The mindset of Sita is the mindset of purity. And the mindset of Ram and the monkeys, this is the mindset of cooperation. So in one translation, all four are coming in together. Exploitation, purity, cooperation and sacrifice. And the life of Jatayu is actually a life of sacrifice. So what we will do is, we will just run through the flow of the Ramayana from a certain stage till Ram actually meets Jatayu and the fight of Ravan and Jatayu, which will give us a lot of insights into the Ramayana. So, the first time Jatayu actually appears in the Ramayana is not when he is fighting with Ravan, but he appears much before. Actually, when Lord Ram enters Panchavati, some sages, Agastya Muni and others, direct Ram, Sita and Lakshman to go and stay in Panchavati, because Panchavati is a very beautiful place. There is a whole chapter about the description of the beauty of Panchavati, and as per the instructions of these sages, Lord Ram actually entered Panchavati, and as soon as he enters Panchavati, they come across Jatayu. Jatayu is a huge vulture. He is 60,000 years old, it's explained. And being so old, definitely he was looking very, vultures already look ugly, and then looking, and being so old, Jatayu was really looking ferocious and ugly. So Lord Ram and Sita and Lakshman, they couldn't understand who he was. And then they started talking to him. And then he gave the explanation of the story of his interaction with Dasharath Maharaj in the past, when before the birth of Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, Dasharath, the kingdom of Ayodhya, had once faced a huge drought. For 11 years, there was no water. For 11 years, there was absolutely no water. And of course, till 11 years, Dasharath didn't even realize the rains were not coming because they had systems of irrigation on storing water. This is called a Nadi Matraka system. There are two kinds of systems of irrigation. One is Deva Matraka, that means a system where you depend on the rains for your irrigation. And the second system is a more powerful system where the king is proactive and he constructs dams, he constructs wells, he constructs irrigation systems in such a way that there is self-sufficiency. So Dasharath had this irrigation system for almost 11 years. They couldn't absolutely see, experience any drought, you know. I mean, at least they couldn't experience the lack of water. And after 11 years, Dasharath realized that something is wrong. And then he decided to do something. And then they did a research and found out that Shani was looking at Ayodhya in the wrong direction, wrong way. And because Shani was looking, therefore there was a drought. So Dasharath, he was a powerful king. And as being a powerful king, he decided to do something about it. He actually went to the kingdom of Shani with his chariot. His name is called Dasharath is because his chariot could move in 10 directions. And being able to move in 10 directions, Dasharath actually flew with his chariot towards Shani Dev. And when Shani looked at Dasharath, his chariot started toppling. It started, you know, falling down. And because of the power of Shani. And while the chariot was falling down, that time Jatayu, he was flying in that direction. And he saw Dasharath chariot and Dasharath falling down. So with one of his wings, Jatayu caught hold of the chariot as well as Dasharath. So you can imagine the size of Jatayu. And he helped Dasharath to become stable. And Dasharath said, I want to go back to attack Shani. So Jatayu this time, he carried Dasharath on his back. And they went towards Shani. And then Shani, seeing his determination, he kind of accepted defeat. And then he stopped looking at Ayodhya. And then the rains came back. But of course, at that point of time, Dasharath Maharaj made a promise to Jatayu that whenever you need me, you ask me for any benediction from me. So that time, Jatayu asked him the benediction that, I want your son to become my son. Of course, Dasharath Maharaj at that time didn't have any sons. So he readily gave that boon, thinking that at least by this way, I might get a son. You know. So that was the promise that happened at that time. And then they never met again. And of course, Lord Ram, in the meanwhile, he entered Panchavati. And Jatayu narrated this whole pastime to Ram. And as soon as Ram entered Panchavati after this conversation, so Jatayu at this point of time, he tells Ram that my duty, my service to you is that I will constantly keep a watch on Sita and protect her and keep a watch on her. He said, whenever you and Lakshman are not there, it is my duty to watch over Sita. And so this was his, so he was on a faraway mountain watching over Sita Devi. And after they reached Panchavati, Ram asked Lakshman to construct a hut, hermitage for them. And Lakshman, he constructed a very beautiful hut. In the Ramayana, there is a very nice description of the hut which Lakshman builds for Ram. The description that is there is that he raised the ground to a certain level with clay and soft mud. And he built a hut made of straw and kusha leaves. And after he constructed this house, he brought in lotuses from different rivers. And then he kept the lotus, decorated the house very beautifully. And he built many rooms. A room where Ram could worship the Lord. A room where Ram could greet the sages. A room where Sita and Ram had a private chamber. So like that he built many, many rooms in the hut. And when Lord Ram saw this hut, he was extremely pleased at Lakshman. And he was so pleased that he made a few comments. He said, he told Lakshman that seeing this hut, first he asked him, how did you learn this skill? He said, I have gone to the same Gurukul as you. We both have gone to the same Gurukul, but I don't know how to construct a hut. At some point of time when they wanted to cross a river, Lakshman constructed a boat also. So Ram asked him, how did you learn all these things? So Lakshman gave a very interesting answer. He said that I acquired all the skills needed to be a servant. And you have acquired all the skills needed to be a master. So therefore, I know these extra skills. Because that was Lakshman's answer. This is the mood, constant mood of Lakshman wanting to serve Lord Ram. And then Lord Ram praised Lakshman by saying that he used three words to praise Lakshman. He said, the qualities that Lakshman manifests are that Lakshman is bhavagya, bhavagya, kritagya and dharmagya. So bhavagya means Lakshman understands the bhav or the inner feelings of Lord Ram, and because he could understand the inner feelings of Lord Ram, Lakshman constructed a private chamber for Lord Ram and Sita to stay in. Till now they never had any private chamber and they wanted to experience union and, you know, have a separate room. They were staying in the forest for so many years without any room, and Lakshman understood the heart of Ram, and the two, Sharad Ritu was starting. And then the second word he used was, he said Kritagya. Kritagya means he is grateful. And the reason Ram used this word is because Dasharath Maharaj, Ram actually compared Lakshman to Dasharath. He told Lakshman that your father has died, but my father has not died. Both of them had the same father. Dasharath was the father of both of them. But why did Ram say that? Because Ram felt that Dasharath was present in Lakshman. And the way a father cares for a son, a similar way Lakshman was caring for Lord Ram. So therefore, Ram said he is Kritagya. And the third word he said is Dharmagya. The reason Ram called him Dharmagya is because though Lakshman constructed the house very beautifully, there was no room for himself. There was no room for Lakshman. So Ram asked him, why did you not build a room for yourself? And when Ram gave the instruction to build the house, he said, you please build a house for the pleasure of Sita, myself and yourself. And when Lakshman heard this, he started crying. He said, how can you tell me that I should build a house for the pleasure of myself? He said, your pleasure is my pleasure. That was the mood of Lakshman. And therefore, Ram called him Dharmagya. That means he understood what is his dharma. The dharma of a living entity is to serve the Lord and give pleasure to the Lord. And since Lakshman never forgot this dharma of a living entity, he is called Dharmagya. And then the description is that after this cottage is built, they stay in Panchavati. And there is one chapter in the Valmiki Ramayana about, it's called the forest trek, where Lakshman, Ram and Sita get up early in the morning and they go to the Godavari river to have a bath. And while they are walking to the river, there is a beautiful description of the Sharad Ritu, the beauty of Panchavati and the cold season that is experienced there. And Lakshman is explaining to Ram slowly about the beauty of that forest. And at some point of time, he starts talking about the cold, how extremely cold it is. Of course, this was quite early in the morning. It was during sunrise, maybe 5:36 in the morning. And while they went to have a bath, in cold water bath in the morning in the river, Lakshman was explaining the coldness. He was telling that how the wind is so chilly. And then he started comparing the coldness of Godavari river to the coldness of Sharayu river. He said, Godavari river is already so cold, but Sharayu river is unlimited times more colder than this. And then he started describing of Bharat's austerities. And he said, Bharat, even in this cold season, he gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning, much before dawn, and goes and has a cold water bath in the Sharayu river. And then he explains how cold the Sharayu river is. He says, in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, when the sun is maximum, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, herds of elephants come to the Sharayu river to drink water. And as soon as they put their trunk into the water, try to touch the water, they experience the cold waves coming out from the water. And just by experiencing the cold waves, they run away. They don't even drink water. They just go back. Right? So this is the coldness of Sharayu river. And in this cold, Bharat is having bath at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then when Ram hears this, he becomes extremely emotional. At one point of time, Ram actually decides that I forget this vow of 14 years of exile. Let me go back. Because Bharat is experiencing so much of pain. There is one time when Ram actually considers going back. Of course, the conversation goes on. And then they all come back. And one day, there's a description of Shurpanakas entering into that scene. And actually, this is a twist in the whole story of the Ramayana. If Shurpanaka never came, then probably Ram would have continued living in Panchavati and gone back from there only. But because Shurbanaka interfered, there was a change. There were three ladies who twisted, who changed the scene of the Ramayana at three different points of time. The first one was Mantara, who actually interfered and changed the mindset of Kaikeyi. The second one was Kaikeyi herself, being influenced by Mantara. She asked Ram to go on exile. And the third one was Shurbanaka, who by instigating Ram and Lakshman, she made them cut her nose and ears. So these three personalities at three different times interfered. Of course, there is another conclusion that the Ramayana gives. We'll see that later. And then Shurbanaka, when she enters into the Panchavati area, there's a very interesting description in the Ramayana about Shurbanaka and about the interaction between Shurbanaka and Ram. I'll just read out the verses because the verses are so interesting. There's a comparison between Shurbanaka and Ram. When Shurbanaka enters into the Panchavati area, she sees Lord Ram and she goes mad seeing the beauty of Lord Ram. And as soon as she sees Ram, she wants to come and talk to him. And there, Valmiki, compares the beauty of Shurbanaka and the beauty of Lord Ram. He says, Sumukam Durmukhi Ramam Vrita Madhyam Mahodhari. He's comparing. He says, Sumukam and Durmukam. He says, Ram's face is pleasant and Shurbanaka's face is unpleasant. And then he says, Vishalaksham Virupakshi Sukesham Tamra Murdhaja. He says that Shurbanaka is pot-bellied. She's like, her belly is like a pot, big earthen pot. And then he says, Ram is slim-waisted. And then he says that Shurbanaka's eyes are wry-eyed. That means her eyes are practically gone to the sockets, but they are bulging. And Ram's eyes are like a lotus flower. Very, very sleek. And then he says, Priya Rupam Virupasaha Suswaram Bhairava Swana. She says that the hair of Shurbanaka is coppery haired. She is having red coppery hair. They are standing. Nowadays you see this hairstyle commonly there in today's world. Coppery red hair and standing hair. And then the next thing, and of course comparing to Ram, neatly combed hair. And the next feature, Shurbanaka is ugly featured and Ram is charming featured. And Shurbanaka's voice is brassy. You know, like a sound of brass drum, you know, brassy voice. And Ram's voice is gentle. And then further Valmiki says, Tarunam Daruna Viridha Dakshinam Vamabhashini. He says, Ram, Shurbanaka is oldish and Ram is youngish. And then he says that Shurbanaka is a crooked talker and Ram is a pleasant talker. And then he says, Nyaya Vritam Sudhur Vrita Priyam Apriya Darshana. He says, Shurbanaka is ill-mannered and Lord Ram is well-mannered. Shurbanaka is cultured, Ram is cultured and Shurbanaka is uncultured. And then, Shurbanaka is abominable and Ram is amiable. So like that he compares Shurbanaka and Ram. Of course, very clearly it's mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana that Shurbanaka never hid her features. She came straight as she was. She never hid her features. But you see how lust is, that in spite of having such features, Shurbanaka was convinced that she was beautiful. She was convinced that she was more beautiful than Mother Sita. In fact, there is a verse she mentions where she's considering all these features that she has, being pot-bellied, having coppery hair and having big eyes as assets. She actually says, what is this useless creature Sita who's having a thin waist and having small eyes and having, you know, straight hair? What is the use of living with such a creature? She actually tells Ram, better live with me. Just see what my features are. So just see how illusion is, that something that is bad, somebody is convinced that it is good. This is the nature of the world, that when something is
So when you have something, you are convinced that it is the best. And like that, of course, Ram, he participates in this joke with Surpanaka. Actually, in fact, there are only two instances in the Ramayana where Ram jokes. And both those jokes are very costly for him. Of course, the first joke is not in the Valmiki Ramayana, but there are some acharyas which say that, why did Mantra instigate Kaikeyi? This is a very interesting story. Of course, this is not in the Valmiki Ramayana, but there are some acharyas which mention this, but it kind of gels into the Ramayana. Ram, when he was a small boy, he had a bow and arrow, and one day he put a mud ball on an arrow and shot it. And he shot it on the hunchback of Surpanaka. And when it hit the hunchback of Surpanaka, all of the children started laughing. Sorry, not Surpanaka, Mantra. And when Mantra was very offended by this act of Lord Ram, and after 25 years, she took revenge. So this is nature of speaking the wrong words or doing the wrong action to anyone. You never know what is in the mind of the other person, and you never know when they will retaliate at some point of time. So this joke of Lord Ram costed him too much. And of course, there is one Sri Vaishnav Acharya who gives a very interesting poem. I used to hear it in my childhood. This poem, I don't remember it's a Tamil poem basically. But in that poem, he's describing this pastime of Ram shooting this arrow at Mantra's back. And then he mentions Ram's name as Govinda in this poem. So it's an interesting thing. Why does he mention Ram's name as Govinda? He doesn't mention Ram. He says Govinda. So the reason that is given is that because this Acharya, he couldn't believe that Ram is such a Maryada Purushottam. He can do such an act. So he was convinced that Krishna has entered into Ram and he has done this act. And because of that conviction, he uses the word Govinda comfortably. And this is the way the acharyas behave. It's a blame game. Some act that Krishna did, some act that Ram did, Krishna is blamed for it. Like there was this interesting story of a robber who climbed a wall. And while climbing the wall broke and he fell down and he died. And the robber's wife, she came to the king and she complained that, how can my husband die when the wall is broken? Then you're at fault. So the king said, I'm not at fault. Who built the wall? They called the mason who built the wall. And the mason came. The king said, we are going to kill you because you built a wall which fell down and the robber died because of that. So the mason said, not my fault. He said, I every day make cement. Today the water was more. Because the water was more, I used the wrong proportion. So he said, who got the water? They called the lady who got the water. So the lady came. She said, you are at fault. You are going to be killed. So the lady said, it's not my fault. The potter today gave me a big pot. And because of the big pot, I got the same amount of water. So they called the pot maker. They said, you are at fault. So the pot maker came and he said, it's not my fault. When I was making pot, one lady came and stood in front. And I was looking at the lady and made the pot little big. What is my fault? So they called that lady. So this lady is at fault. This lady came and she said, it's not my fault also. I would not have stood here if the laundryman got my cloth in time. She said, call the laundryman. The laundryman came and they said, you are at fault. He said, I can't be at fault. I went to get the cloth, but on the riverside, there was a sannyasi who was sitting. And he was not ready to move only. So I couldn't step over him. And therefore, I got late. So they called the sannyasi. And the sannyasi happened to be a Mauni Baba, not speaking. So they called the sannyasi and they said, you are at fault. Sannyasi didn't speak naturally. So he said, why didn't you get up? He didn't speak. Then they said, you are at fault. And they hung him. So this is a blame game, how somebody is at fault and somebody else is blamed. Here Lord Ram is at fault and Krishna is blamed. Of course, the second joke that Lord Ram did is when Surpanaka came. Lord Ram is actually, Krishna is called Anubhav Pradhan. And Lord Ram is Anushasan Pradhan. That means his life is a life of exemplary, being exemplary. That's why even now people want Ram Rajya. Hardly anybody talks about Krishna Rajya. People want Ram Rajya because his life can be imitated, can be followed, can be emulated. And when Lord Ram joked with Surpanaka, it became a big issue. Surpanaka introduced, of course, this is a very interesting thing, how Surpanaka introduces herself to Ram. She introduces herself as being the sister of Ravan. She describes the power of Ravan. And then she says that, I am also the sister of Kumbhakarna. She describes the sleeping tendency of Kumbhakarna. And then she describes Vibhishan. She says, I have another brother whose name is Vibhishan, who is a very virtuous soul. So this is the first time in the Ramayana where Vibhishan's name comes in. And this is the first time where Lord Ram is hearing about Vibhishan. And what he hears? He is a very virtuous soul. And then Surpanaka tells Ram that Vibhishan is not meant to be a demon. She in fact tells like that. And then the next verse, she glorifies herself. She says, I am more powerful than all these brothers. She actually says that. And then she criticizes Sita Devi. So the first impression of Vibhishan to Ram is a very powerful impression. And of course, Ram jokes with Surpanaka, glorifies her, and he actually appreciates the beauty of Surpanaka. And then he tells her to go to Lakshman. And then they play, have a kind of passing game. And then finally, there's one very interesting thing that when Lord Ram finally tells Lakshman, stop joking, cut her nose and ears. One devotee was mentioning that while Lord Ram asked Vibhishan to cut her nose, ears is okay, why nose? Because Ram realized that this lady was so much filled with lust, so much, you know, burning with lust, that she could not breathe properly. So Ram told Lakshman, cut her nose. You have a better ventilation. And then Surpanaka, she got disfigured and she ran to Ravan. And she started, she acted very differently. She told whatever things Ram had not done also. She kind of, you know, made up a whole big, of course, before she went to Ravan, she brought Kara and Dushan and her and the 14,000 soldiers. In this point, in the Ramayana, there's a description that Lord Ram tells Lakshman, I want to fight with these 14,000 people alone. He tells Lakshman, take Sita Devi and go inside the house. And then Ram actually kills all the 14,000 soldiers of Kara and Dushan, including Kara and Dushan, in a matter of 1 hour. And then he comes back. He's filled with all blood all over. And then he comes and stands in front of Sita Devi. And there's a very interesting reason why Ram does that. The reason that is that when Sita and Ram were leaving Ayodhya, actually when Ram was leaving Ayodhya for the exile, and he was telling Sita that you should not come with me, Sita actually heavily chastises Ram, and tells him that my father, if he comes to know, you know, that you're doing such an act, then he will think that did I marry my daughter to a man or a woman? She actually tells Ram like this. She tells him that you're not a man, you're a woman. Why you're not taking me? Because you're not having the confidence that you can protect me. She tells Ram this. And then with that heavy words, Ram agrees to take her. And at this point of time, this is the first instance where in the Ramayana where, after they go on exile, where Ram gets to exhibit his valor. And then with all the blood and with killing of this 14,000 soldiers, Ram comes in and makes a point to Sita that I am a man. That's the interesting thing. And of course, Surpanaka runs to Ravan and complains about Sita. And while telling Ravan about the wrong that is done to her, she also instigates lust in Ravan. This is the nature of lusty people, that the association of lusty people instigates that kind of mentality in the others also. So Ravan at that point of time, he never had any lusty feelings towards Sita because he never even seen her. So, but when Surpanaka instigated, so he became literally mad. And then he came and he started encouraging Marich to go and act as a golden deer. And Marich, the dialogue between Ravan and Marich is very interesting. It almost goes to 4 chapters in the Ramayana, where Marich is expressing his horror to Ravan, because Ravan never saw Ram, so he never had an experience with Ram. But Marich had 2 experiences with Ram. So he narrates both the experiences to Ravan. He tells him, when I hear the word Ra, that itself is enough to scare me. So basically, when Marich would even hear the word Ravan, he was scared. Because it starts with Ra. So Marich was so scared, and he narrated 2 instances. He said the first instance was when Ram was a small child. It was a 12-year-old boy. Dasharath had sent Ram with Vishwamitra Muni to to learn things and to kill demons. At that point of time, Marich was also there in that party. And Lord Ram, as a small boy, he shot an arrow at Marich. That arrow took him 800 yojanas away. And he fell down somewhere, you know, in a lost place. So Marich had that experience of that arrow till now. And then the second time was when Ram grew up and he was sent to exile and he went into the forest. At that point of time, Marich and two of his friends, demons, had become carnivorous deers. They had taken the form of carnivorous deers and they were going around eating animals and eating human beings, disturbing the sages. And at one point of time, they came across Ram, Lakshman, Sita. And again, Ram interfered and he killed the two demons of friends of Marich. And Marich somehow escaped from there. So he said, these two instances are so clearly there in Marich's mind. He told Ravan, please don't do it. Please don't allow me. He said, if you send me there, 100% sure I'm going to die. He tells Ravan this. But Ravan doesn't agree. And then Marich even tells Ravan that, I am so scared of Ram, I am so scared of the power of Ram, that he said, after I came back from the second incident, he said, I have taken sannyas, I have given up all bad habits, and he actually wore a saffron dress, and he was actually practicing, some kind of sannyas. Of course, sannyas without a guru, and Marich said, this is the fear that I have of Ram. But Ravan, he ordered him, he said, if you don't go, I will kill you. So Marich, he concluded that it is better to die in the hands of Ram than in the hands of Ravan. So the interesting explanation is that, of course, we'll compare it later, but Marich actually goes to meet, where Sita was staying, and then the whole episode happens of kidnapping of Sita. And then while Ravan is kidnapping Sita and flying in the air in the Pushpak Viman, at that point of time, Sita Devi, she is dropping all her jewelry in different places and she is shouting. There's a great description of what experience Sita undergoes while she's being kidnapped. And she's shouting to all the trees, all the birds, all the animals there in the forest that please inform Ram how I have been kidnapped, which direction he has taken me. She's throwing different jewelry in different places. And then finally, Sita Devi spots Jatayu. It's explained that when Sita Devi spots Jatayu, she gives him an instruction. She tells Jatayu that, oh Jatayu, kindly tell Ram, she tells him actually that, I know that you don't have the power. I know that you are old. I know that you don't have weapons. And I know that Ravan is very powerful. She tells him, try to do anything. Kindly inform Ram that I have been kidnapped by Ravan and tell him the direction that I have gone. That's it. This is the instruction that Sita gives to Jatayu. That's it. She doesn't expect anything more. She in fact very clearly tells him that this is my service to you. But you see, if Jatayu had to think, this is my allotted service, this is what I'm going to do, then there was no trouble for Jatayu. He would have lived for long, maybe till 70,000-80,000 years. But Jatayu, he said, I've been given a certain service, I have to do more than I've been allotted. So what he decided to fight with Ravan. And then the conversation between Ravan and Jatayu is very interesting. Jatayu actually instructs Ravan. First he tries to explain to Ravan using words. Just like Kamsa and Vasudev, when they interact with each other, the first thing that Vasudev does is tries to convince him with words. Demons sometimes understand if words are spoken nicely. Jatayu tried to convince Ravan and he tried to tell him that your duty as a leader is that you're supposed to behave ideally. And if you don't behave ideally, what will you expect your citizens? All your followers will start kidnapping each other's wives. You have to behave sane. And then Jatayu started telling Ravan that you are trying to kidnap Sita. Your kidnapping of Sita is like holding a serpent in your cloth. If you hold a serpent in your cloth, what will happen? Serpent is going to bite you. So Jatayu tells him that you are holding a serpent in your cloth. And then he gives him 2-3 more analogies. He tells him that you should not carry more burden than you can tolerate. This is a very practical advice Jatayu is giving. One should not work more than you can tolerate or carry more burden than you can tolerate. Right? Jatayu is giving a practical advice. And then he tells him one more thing. He says, you should not eat more food than you can digest. He tells him, you can't digest this food. You better give up Sita Devi now. But still, Ravan doesn't listen to all the good advice and then he carries Sita Devi away. And there is a description of the fight between Ravana and Jatayu. Jatayu, in spite of being so old and in fact having no weapons, he managed to kill the chariot driver of Ravana. He managed to kill all the donkeys. Of course, the Pushyakumar didn't have horses, it had the donkeys. Ravana was fond of donkeys. He killed all the donkeys of Ravana. He destroyed the helmet of Ravana. He destroyed 2-3 bows of Ravana. And he actually destroyed the chariot. The chariot of Ravana fell down, practically. And then Ravana took Sita Devi away. And Ravana actually realized that this person, Jatayu, was getting old. So he removed a sword and cut the wings of Jatayu. And he cut the feet of Jatayu. Actually, when Jatayu didn't have any weapons, he was using his claws and beak, poking Ravana constantly with his beaks and claws. Just see, this is a struggle that a devotee is ready to undergo to do something more for the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that whatever troubles are there in serving the Lord, that is my greatest pleasures. So for Jatayu, this was an extreme amount of trouble and austerity because of his age and because of lack of strength. But still, he was ready to undergo that trouble to try to protect Sita Devi. And then, after Jatayu fell down, Ravana went away. And then, sometime later, there is a great description of the separation of Ram from Sita. And he acts like a madman, practically. Howling in the forest, crying and trying to... Lakshman, at some point of time, he was bewildered. He said, "Is this my brother?" He couldn't believe that this is the same Ram, you know, who was always composed, always well-behaved, always unaffected, you know. Generally, this is a difficult thing to digest when a person who is really very sober, really very well behaved, and really very strict, he breaks down. Difficult to digest. So here Lakshman was in that stage, and of course Lakshman tried to pacify him with good words, and then they reached the place where Jatayu was lying down. And the first instance when Ram sees Jatayu, he asks Lakshman. This is the most heaviest thing in the Ramayana. He asks Lakshman, "Is this a demon who has eaten up Sita Devi?" He suspects that Jatayu is a demon and he has eaten up Sita Devi. Just see, when somebody has sacrificed his life for serving the Lord, the same Lord comes and suspects him of having killed Sita. And he says, "All this blood is blood of Sita. And this demon is enjoying Sita's flesh, and he can't move now because he is eaten too much." Just see, when somebody serves and then that person is misunderstood, it's too much, it's too heavy. But Jatayu, in spite of being misunderstood, he didn't say, "Come on, Ram, what is this? This is nonsense." Actually, Ram picked up a bow and arrow to shoot Jatayu. To this extent, Ram went. And this is the way in which the Lord tests the devotee sometimes. Goes to an extreme degree. How much can you tolerate? How much can you bear? So Jatayu, he actually tolerated all that, and still he was in the mood. So of course he had done what was not expected from him till now. What was not expected? To fight with Ravana. He had done all that. But what was expected? To tell the message to Ram. If Jatayu had only fought with Ravana and died without telling the message to Ram, then what service he had been given only was not fulfilled. So Jatayu waited to give that message to Ram, because that was his allotted service. And he waited till he gave the message. And then he gave the message in a very, very interesting way. He used two words. He said, "Ayushman." He told Ram that Ayushman. Ayushman means, he said, "May you live long." He started his conversation with this word. The reason the acharyas say that in the initial time when Ram had experienced separation from Sita, Ram said, "I can live without Sita for maximum 1 month, not more than that." He told Lakshman. And actually, how many months did he live? 10 months without separation from Sita. And the reason he lived for 10 months without separation from Sita, he could survive, was because of this Ayushman, Ashirvad of Jatayu, blessings of Jatayu. And then, of course, they had a conversation, and then Lord Ram actually, he gave a funeral. Jatayu left his body. Ram actually performed the funeral of Jatayu. There is a very interesting explanation that is given about Ram doing the funeral of Jatayu. That Ram, when he was crowning Vibhishan, in the end, towards after killing Ravana, when he was crowning Vibhishan, Ram started crying. Started crying like anything. So everybody asked him, "Why are you crying?" And then he gave his explanation that I have made so many people kings. He said, I made the paduka, you know, the footwear, my footwear as a king of Ayodhya. I have made Sugriv as a king of Kishkindha. I have made now Vibhishan as a king of Lanka, but I have not done anything for Jatayu. I could not make Jatayu the king. He is crying at that point of time. And then later on, when Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman, they come back to Ayodhya, and Ram is coronated. During the coronation of Ram, the citizens were throwing colors and flowers at Lord Ram, Sita. And when Sita saw the red color, she remembered Jatayu. She remembered how the way in which Ravan killed Jatayu and the blood of Jatayu falling down. And she started crying at that point of time. So Sita and Ram both had such affectionate, liking for Jatayu because of the sacrifice that he did, that they constantly remembered Jatayu at different stages. And and therefore, when Ram actually gave a funeral to Jatayu, the explanation that is given is that this fulfilled the promise that Jatayu had taken from Dasharatha Maharaj. Because at that point of time, the initial days, when Dasharatha had promised Jatayu that my son will be your son, this was the fulfillment of the promise, because Dasharatha never received the funeral from the hands of Ram, because Ram was not there. He had already left for exile. But Jatayu, he received that. And in fact, Lord Ram, it is explained that he did the funeral rites in exactly the same way that a son does for a father. The funeral rites of Jatayu. Exactly in the same elaborate details. Just see, when a bird dies, you know, people, of course, nowadays, when dogs die, they are given a greater burial than when a human being dies. But this is a very perverted reflection of what Jatayu went through, because it is not affection for an animal. Ram was not an animal lover, but Ram was basically a lover of the devotion of Jatayu's heart, and you could see the mood of sacrifice in Jatayu. So that is the reason where Ram gave this kind of treatment to Jatayu. And then, here there's a comparison between the death of Jatayu and the death of Marich. So Marich, because he didn't have a guru, he didn't have a teacher, he died thinking that it is better to die in the hands of Ram than die in the hands of Ravan. But Jatayu, he died in the hands of Ravan. So somebody might think, you know, what is this? Is it better to die in the hands of Ram or better to die in the hands of Ravan? So the understanding is that Marich, he died in the hands of Ram, but in the service of Ravan. Even the last breath of his, he shouted out the name of Lakshman and Sita. If he was actually loyal to Ram, he would have shouted out the name of Ram. But rather, he shouted out the name of Lakshman and Sita, clearly indicating that he was consciously serving Ravan till the last breath of his life. But Jatayu, he died in the hands of Ravan, but he was clearly indicating that every breath of his was in the service of Lord Ram. This is why we need a spiritual teacher to guide us and tell us what is right and what is wrong. Marich, he unnecessarily took up a spiritual cloth, but without the spiritual understanding, without the understanding of the absolute truth. And Jatayu, he did the opposite. So to give great inconvenience is the worst kind of thing you can do. So Marich, thinking that he is doing something spiritual by dying in the hands of Ram, he gave a great amount of inconvenience to Ram. But Jatayu, he was very clear that his motive was to give convenience to Ram, to make him search for Sita much faster. So to give convenience to Ram, he took a lot of inconvenience himself. Marich, he took inconvenience, but to give inconvenience to Ram. So this is the difference between mindset. And of course, the difference between the death of Jatayu and Dasharatha. Dasharatha, because he was taking shelter of the relative truth, he decided to sacrifice the absolute truth. Because Dasharatha had given three promises to Kaikeyi, and he wanted to fulfill them anyhow. Because he was a follower of Dharma. And that was to be truthful. He had to be truthful. But to satisfy the relative truth of this world, he gave up the absolute truth. He sent the absolute truth to the forest. And because he sent the absolute truth to the forest, he never got the same shelter that Jatayu got. And of course, further, the Ramayana describes that after giving the funeral to Jatayu, Ram goes ahead and he meets the monkey chiefs. The very interesting way in which Shukadeva Goswami puts it, he says that The Lord killed the demon named Kamanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killed Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. He made friends with the monkey chiefs. So the point is, why did Ram need to make friends with monkeys? The answer that is given is that Ram, if he wanted to kill Ravan, he had to do nothing practically. He had to just wish that Ravan dies. And the same Lord which is present within the heart of Ravan would have killed him instantly. But Ram took shelter of the monkey chiefs to make a point that I want to kill Ravan in the most funniest way, using monkeys. There can be nothing more insulting to Ravan than using monkeys to kill Ravan. Because monkeys can be used for nothing practically. Because how can you train a monkey to do something sensible? Whatever the monkey does, it becomes a joke. That's why monkeys are best as jokers, you know. They're used like that, basically, even if they're used. So, Ram used monkeys to make fun of Ravan in that way. And the interesting part of killing of Vali was when Vali was killed, Tara, the wife of Vali, she comes and actually glorifies Ram. Very interesting that there are three instances of three women who went through disturbances, who went through, you know, some kind of atrocities at the hands of Ram. But all three always glorify him. The three women, Mandodari, Tara and Surpanaka. Surpanaka was killed, disfigured by Lakshman. But in spite of being disfigured by Lakshman, she goes to Ravan and she never complains about Ram. She only talks about Sita's bad. But she tells him about the beauty of Ram. She actually, you know, 3-4 times she speaks the beauty of Ram. She comes to tell about what has been done wrong to her. But when she starts speaking, she only glorifies Ram. And then Ravan tells her, come on, tell me something, what has happened? She gets so absorbed in describing the beauty of Ram that she forgets to tell him what actually went wrong. This is the effect of Ram on different people. And then the second one was Mandodari. When Ravan died, Mandodari comes out and she starts glorifying Ram again. She starts glorifying and singing the praises of Ram. That Ravan, my husband, deserved this. She actually praises. This is very interesting. And the third person is Tara. When her husband Vali is dead, lying in front of her, she is describing the beauty of Ram. She tells Ram that your eyes are red in color, reddish in color. And the acharyas give commentary of what is the meaning of why Tara is saying your eyes are red in color. In the Vishnu Sahasranam, there are two names of Lord Ram, of the Lord that I mentioned. One name is Nimisha and Animisha. Nimisha means somebody whose eyes all closes. And Animisha means somebody whose eyes never close. So Lord is having two names. Somebody whose eyes always closes and somebody whose eyes never close. It seems to be in opposites, but the explanation is that Lord closes his eyes when the devotee commits a small mistake. When the devotee commits a small mistake, at that time, the Lord closes his eyes, blinks his eyes to neglect the mistake of the devotee. But when the devotee does something good, he always keeps his eyes open, huge, big, and seeing when the devotee will do something good, and he picks it up. So because the Lord's eyes never close, because there are three reasons why somebody's eyes can be red. You know, one is because of extreme sadness. Ram is not too sad because Vali has died. He doesn't care so much. And second is because of extreme joy. Ram can't be too joyous also because he killed Vali. It's a sober scene. The third reason that somebody's eyes can be red is because he never slept for a long time. So Ram's eyes are red, Tara says, because he has never slept. Why he has never slept? Because he is Anivisha. His eyes are always open, seeing the good in others, seeing the good in the living entities. So, like that, Tara glorifies Ram. So, therefore, no one can actually find any fault in Ram. And to end with, we'll just see this episode of Sugriv asking this. It's mentioned, it will come in the next purport, but I'll just mention this since we are here. That Sugriv asks Ram that why we need to be compassionate to Vibhishan. Why to accept Vibhishan here? Because Vibhishan is a demon, very clear. There is no doubt whether he is a demon or no. He is a demon. So then Ram, while he is giving his opinion, he tells one story. I'll end with this story. And of course, this is a great description, but we'll not go into that. The story he tells is that, he tells the story of two pigeons. He says that once there are two pigeons sitting on a tree, Very interesting that Ramayana begins with this kind of a story, and also towards the end of the story is there. He says there are two pigeons sitting on a tree, and one pigeon, the female and male pigeon was sitting, and a hunter came and shot down the female pigeon. And when the female pigeon died, the male pigeon was in extreme agony. And then the hunter takes the female pigeon and goes away. And after many, many months, after a few months, again the Sharad Ritu starts, and the male pigeon is alone sitting on that tree. And the male pigeon is crying in separation from the female pigeon. And the same hunter comes to the same place. And he's under the same tree. And while he's standing there under the tree, it starts raining heavily. And it's extreme cold. The hunter is shivering. And the hunter lights a fire, small fire below, tries to keep himself warm. And he's in extreme hunger. So the male pigeon, he thinks that, what should I do with this hunter? What should I do for this hunter? And what he does, he actually jumps into the fire, cooks himself, and gives himself as food to the hunter. So Ram narrates this story to Sugriv, and he tells him that if I can't accept Vibhishan into my camp, I am worse than this male pigeon. And then he gives analogy. He says, this female pigeon is like Mother Sita, and the hunter is like Ravan. And Vibhishan is the brother of this hunter, and I am the male pigeon. He says, if somebody has come to take shelter of me, come under my tree, the male pigeon says, if somebody has come under my tree, it is my duty to take care of him as a guest. So, and here Ram is saying, Vibhishan has not just come standing under the tree, and he's not even the hunter, he's the brother of the hunter, and he's coming to take shelter. He said, why can I not give shelter to Vibhishan? And he tells Sugriv that I have to give shelter to Vibhishan. This is the mood of the Lord, that he tries his, he goes out of the way to give shelter to Jatayu, to Guha, to Vibhishan, and to so many people like this, whom he doesn't have to give shelter to at all, who are nowhere related to him. But the Lord gives shelter because of the compassion of his heart. So we'll end here. If anybody has any questions or comments, it's already late. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.